Saul.
That's the Zold Amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, man, let me typing. Got me typing here on the 25th of November, 2018. Special day in the Dobenmeyer household. Our daughter, Abby, 35 years old today. How can Abby be 35 years old? Remember when that little girl popped out? What a joy she was. Little tomboy, competitive, great little athlete, softball player. Tremendous mommy, tremendous daughter. She went to Hillsdale College. I never forget, I was driving down the road. Oh, Abby was about 15 or 16, I can't remember. I was driving down the road, I was listening to Rush Limbaugh. And Dr. Walter Williams was sitting in for Rush, and somebody called in and asked Rush, I'm concerned, if this is what, this 22 years ago. Somebody's asking Walter Williams, where can I send my child to school? What do I do? I've got all these options, and I'll never forget. Walter Williams said, "There's two places you can send your children; they'll come home human beings." I thought, "Boy, is that that's well said." And one of them was Grove City College in Pennsylvania. We went and visited that, and the second one was Hillsdale College in Michigan. And so we went up and visited Hillsdale, and just felt really, really right for us. And I'd still would really recommend anybody out there, if you feel that you have to send your children to school, send them. I recommend Hillsdale above. Our son went to Denison University and Kenyon College, and those are full up, dare I say it, the Docodominia. That's all it's taught in higher education. Hillsdale College still does not receive any federal funding. it's not Christian, it's libertarian, it's constitutional. Anyway, happy birthday, Abby. I don't know how I got on that. Her husband also is a Hillsdale College graduate. So happy birthday to them. Welcome to the show today. I didn't really get much of a chance to say that. We swept over into autumn yesterday. It's been autumn here the last couple of days. A lot of rain trickling down. It's all good. Listen, throw it up here on the screen, Jared. say what? Throw up there our event this weekend in Ohio. I'm going to make a push for this real quick. Did you guys hear Chad Estes and I on the Butch Paul show last night? Paul had a decision. He said, "Of course not, we didn't." No, we didn't know that. Well, Chad and I were on there for an hour last night, and we're going to be on for an hour tonight as well. Pastor Butch is a friend of mine. He's been doing Patriot Radio type stuff for 30 years, probably way ahead of the curve. He has to have some surgery on his foot, so couldn't be there last night. Can't be there tonight. I brought Chad on last night. I guest hosted for Butch. Brought Chad on last night. We talked about the Salt and Light Brigade, and we're going to do it again tonight. So call the decision, or you can go to PastorButch.com. PastorButch.com, and that'll get it. We go at 9 o'clock tonight. Love to have you tune in if you're able to do that. What was I talking about? Oh, I said, Jared, bring that up there. Yes. Listen, I want. Well, he's got Pastor Butch up there for you right now. You can see. But I want to talk about. And that's where we're going to be. You want to find us tonight, you can find us right there. PastorBooks.com is called the decision. God and I will be on there tonight. Chad did pretty well. I'm an experienced veteran on radio. Chad's a rookie. He did well. Events, Pass the Salt. Listen, I got to call. Mark Trump is driving in for this event, coming in from Virginia. I think it's where he lives. Chad Estes. Coming into this event. Now, I want to know why those of you in Ohio are not coming to this event. Why aren't you coming? Why aren't you in West Virginia and Kentucky? Why aren't you coming to this event? I'm waiting. Oh, I know. Ohio State plays Penn State. I stay home and watch that. Come to this event. Going to be all kinds of great stuff. Going to be great fellowship. It starts at noon. It goes till 9 o'clock. Sunday. And then Sunday morning, the next day, we're going to have some church fellowship. Everybody's invited. Women are welcome. So it's a man-oriented, nothing specific for the ladies. But Lowell needs an RSVP. He needs to know if you're going to come. Now, he gave us today, he sent me specific directions because you can't trust your GPS. And so if you need directions, email me or whatever. We'll get it to you. Larry's coming in. I think Larry said he's coming in. Why won't you? What do I have to do to pull teeth to get you guys to come to this? What is it? Why won't you come? So, oh, I got other stuff I got to do. Well, fellowship, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more as that day approaches. So are you kidding me, Coach? I live clear up by Cleveland. Really? If I had a ticket to the Buckeyes game, would you come? If I was going to give you $1,000 to come, would you come? Sure you would. Yeah, that'll become a priority. It's one of the things with Tad, Chad, and I spoke last night on Butch Paul's show. Called a decision. It's time. We're in war. You know, we're at war. And some of you have never met each other. Well, you meet each other here on the queue, feel like you know each other. Some of you, you've never ever met. Well, Coach, if you'd been giving me more time to plan, I would have made it. We've been talking about it for 6 weeks. What are you talking about, more time? And I said to Chad last night, and then I was with on another radio show the other day. You know, I said, here's the truth. Excuse me. Most of y'all just big talkers. I'm going to say it again in case the internet went down. Most of y'all just big yappers, just big talkers. You don't want to put yourself at risk. You don't want to put yourself out. You don't have to inconvenience yourself. You just yap, 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 gripe and moan, and don't do a daggone thing about it.
Well, you know, Dave, they say nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So, wow, come on here. So there you go. I'm laying it out there for you. Lowell's probably in here today. Lowell, you got anything to add? So are you kidding me? That's an 8-hour drive for me. Well, good. We got a place for you to sleep. Place for you to sleep.
Now, the only thing I've got to add is RSVP me, so I've got an email to send you the final update, Coach, which I gave you this morning. And I've got 23 people that have RSVP'd so far. Half of them are Salters, Salt and Light Brigade. The other half are my own people that I'm bringing in to get them exposed to it. Okay. So
give me that
good
number.
Turnout, but there should be more Salt and Light Brigade guys there.
That's right. How many did you say are Salt and Light Brigaders, Lowell?
About half, 12.
12.
That includes Chad, Mark, yourself, that type of thing.
Unbelievable. Are you kidding me?
South Carolina. Yeah.
We got these guys right here in Ohio, and they're not coming?
Well, Roger's coming. Mike from Buckeye Lake's coming. So you got three or four guys. I think Roger's going to try and bring two of his.
Good.
Men Christian friends. So that's what it needs to take. I mean, and this is the first one. You know, I hope to make this more of a routine thing on a monthly basis. Just where we come together and speak
Amen.
To the Lord and speak to each other.
Got some big talkers in here, though, don't we? Got some big talkers. That's all right. Hey, Jim Kraft's coming. Jim's coming. All right, Jim. Good. See, here's what. I have to like pulling teeth. Why is it like pulling teeth? I've been out to Chad's a number of times. I know what's going on up in Wisconsin. I've been up there. You say, well, heck, Coach, you got all kinds of spare time. Well, it's a Saturday. It's a stinking Saturday, and you've known about it for 6 weeks. What do you mean I got spare time? How about some priorities here? Well, we can't do that because my daughter's got a soccer game. Oh, okay. Easy. Get me off of that. Okay, I'm off of it. We'd love to have you. Everybody's coming. You'll be blessed. We'll be blessed to have you there. Come and be a part of it. And I was looking for a scripture this morning, and I couldn't get it, so I'm trying to dig it up right now. Man, I got a million things I want to talk about. A million things. Before I do, anybody want to throw something on the table? Before I get in, we talked about that. I can't get my sheet up in front of me. There it is.
You want to talk about the Rat Rosenstein?
No, I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay.
No. You know why I'm not going to talk about it? Because it's all distraction.
It is all
distraction. It's all distraction. And it's all distraction. I got some stuff I'm going to if the Lord allows us to, I'm going to share with you here in a little bit that.
Can I say it's all just pillows talking about
things, things are about to get crazy, I think. Go ahead, Denny.
I just want to say it's all a bunch of pillow talk and a bunch of nonsense. All they want to do is get in this guy's bedroom, you know. They had an interview on TV yesterday. I thought about not watching TV. Okay, everyone needs to be entertained. So watch your stupid TV. But if you're gonna watch, at least know what you're doing. Okay.
And that's not even what it's about. That's not even what it's about. Did somebody say call my name? Jared, is that you?
Yeah, I was just saying, I think right now Jezebel's putting on her makeup and she's leaning out the window, and hopefully Jehu's going to look up and say, hey, where are my eunuchs at?
That's great.
Okay, so listen to me here. I want you guys to understand this. What they're telling us isn't the truth. I'm going to tell you this. I don't know this, but I know this. Donald Trump has not, they've not been caught, they've not been blindsided by this accusation. You guys, I want you to think about this. I want to get into some other stuff, but since Vinny rolled this out, I'm going to roll along with it a little bit. You know that Donald Trump, for the last 30 years of his life, has dealt with some of the most diabolical people in the world, the mafiosos in New York and Atlantic City and places where he has built buildings all around the world. You guys have any idea what those union thugs are like? You have any idea? You know what they did to Jimmy Hoffa, right? You understand the type of organization that Donald Trump has had? Do you understand that Donald Trump has probably had around him a security force every bit as strong as a Secret Service for how long? How many people do you suppose over the last 20, 30 years have wanted to kill Donald Trump? How many backroom deals? How many mafiosos? How many of those union thugs has he dealt with over the years, and he's still standing? So I want you to understand, this ain't Ted Cruz that's in the White House. This isn't Jimmy Carter in the White House. This is a guy who understands the way the game is played, and he plays cutthroat, okay? So I'm going to tell you, when they nominated Brett Kemp, do you really think Donald Trump doesn't have an organization around the Trump organization that has been infiltrating the left over the last 2 years, probably 10 years, but over the last 2 years? You don't think that he has spies? You don't think he has moles? You don't think he has people placed in the enemy's camp, understands what's going on? You think he's surprised by Rosenstein? You think he's surprised by Mueller? You really think that Donald Trump is just some guy that rode in on a hay wagon, made it into the White House? He did a few TV shows, and man, he got in there, and now he didn't know what the heck's going on. Tell me you're smarter than that. That this guy has dealt with some of the most diabolical people certainly in the United States and probably in the world. Including
in politics, Coach. This guy goes way back. He has rubbed shoulders. He has paid him off. He said it on his platform. He goes, I know how the system works. He goes, and that's why it needs to be changed, because he worked the system.
Does anybody see this but me? And see, what is happening is the left is running out of rope, man. They're running out of rope. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Here's what I think. I don't know this, but I know this. That this whole thing's about to, some information is about to be released on the call, whatever you want to, the swamp, the left, whatever you want to. And one of the keys to it happening is Kavanaugh being seated as Supreme Court Justice. That makes the Supreme Court 5-4. Because some of the stuff that's going to happen with this battle moving to what they call that, huh? The kings of this world conspire against the Lord and his anointed. This thing is about to move into an area that we have never seen ever in the history of American politics. And you think the left is crazy now, you wait. And I'm going to promise you this, this lie about the midterms and all the red, that's, everything's going to go red. It's going to be a red wave. Whatever. It's a blue wave, I guess they're saying. Going to be a blue wave. Listen, Can you look around and see what's going on? I was at that. I told you I was at that party Saturday night. Those people are—they're all Trump people. They're all sick and tired of the system, and they're just—they're throwing us breadcrumbs. And the left is doing everything they can. But see, it isn't the left.
Hey, Coach, let's call the color what it is. It's not a blue wave. It's not a red wave. It's a brown wave every time we go through these politics.
Well, it's a wave for sure, brother. It's a wave. And listen, I know some of you don't want to hear about it. I just know you don't. And I know some of you don't want to believe it. And I'm just telling you. We are, Doug, I had a conversation with an email conversation the other day. I won't say with who it was. It doesn't matter. And I've heard from about four people that I really, really trust that all hell is about to break loose. Now, I want to paint a picture for you again. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. Now, come here. Come on, man. Come on. What does that mean? What does it mean? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hey, guys, we're flesh and blood. But it's not flesh and blood that we're operating with. Because you know what? Even you watching me right now, you're not a body. You're not flesh and blood. You're a spirit that operates inside of a body. You have a soul. Every person that you run into has a spiritual component to them. Some of them aren't even aware of it. Some of them are tools of the devil. Some of them are tools of the devil in a religious sense. Some of them have taken the word of God and they've changed it and they've transformed it into something that it is not. But don't ever forget that the spiritual world controls the natural world. That's why we understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the power is in another realm. But it shows up here. It shows up right here. And how can they be lying so much about Kavanaugh and so many people believing it? Because it is a spiritual component to it. And I don't even know what to say. I get so frustrated. Today is going to be Hell Week. Anybody ever pledge a fraternity? Ever going to Hell Week? I think we're getting ready to head into Hell Week. And why are we getting ready to head into Hell Week? Because the left is organized. They serve their father, the devil, all out. Where's the right? Well, we're disorganized. And we serve our father as it becomes convenient to us.
We're not because they don't agree 1,000% with me.
Say that again. I didn't quite hear you.
We're snubbing each other because they don't agree 1,000% with me.
You never see the left fight. You never see them fight ever. Now we're starting to see a little bit of that on the inside. They floated the idea yesterday that Rosenstein was going to be fired. Was that amazing? How they all knew that's going to be fired. Now why'd Trump do that? Why did they float that? Oh, boy. So I'm just trying to tell you that there's a whole lot going on. And it's going on, and it's spiritual, and the average person doesn't have any idea that it's going on. All right? Now, I'm not a big Tucker Carlson fan. But I want Tucker Carlson last night. I had 2 minutes. I think it was last night. Somebody sent me the clip. 2 minutes. This is profound. Now, first of all, know this. Tucker Carlson doesn't say this unless somebody gave him permission to say this. Understand this. The Senate Judiciary Committee, truth is, some of those guys are playing on the other team. They do not want Kavanaugh confirmed. They don't want it. You understand, don't you? That their foot caught in the trap as well. And if you think that all of a sudden Dianne Feinstein brings this in out of nowhere, they didn't know it was coming. Come on. Grow up. grow up. Now, I'm telling you, something's going on for Tucker Carlson to be permitted to say this from his media bosses. This is 2 minutes. I want you to think through Fox News. Fox News, for how long have we been watching that Republican light? O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, Hannity, Jesse Waters, Judge Napolitano, talk, just trying to keep us under control. And now they understand that something is about to happen, and I say Fox News wants to get out in front and be on the right team. That's the way that I see it. Something big going on behind the scenes. Listen what Tucker Carlson says about the Republican Party. Hey, Buffalo Springfield, hang on. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there. Hey, folks, open your spiritual eyes and let the Lord show you something going on. Play this 2 minutes.
This is a bad joke, this whole thing. That's clear at this point, and everybody knows it on both sides. What's amazing is that Republicans, for some reason, are still playing along. Last week, Senate Republicans declared, in effect, that all allegations against Brett Kavanaugh must be heard, no matter how frivolous or obviously fraudulent they are. Senate Republicans are the ones who made the court of credibility possible in this country. Should it surprise anyone, The New Yorker ran this piece. How many more pieces like it are coming? As many as it takes, no question about that. We can't control the Senate Republicans, obviously. They exist in their own world. But we can remind them what is at stake here. If Brett Kavanaugh, who's a mainstream judge, a moderate, really, a man who's literally married to George W. Bush's assistant, can't get confirmed to the Supreme Court, then no Republican can get confirmed to the Supreme Court, even with a Republican Congress, ever. But it's worse than that. There's a midterm election just weeks from now. If you're a Republican, you may be wondering, why should I bother to vote? You backed Trump 2 years ago. Your brother-in-law from Brooklyn mocked you for it. So did a lot of other people. But you did it anyway. Why? Because you wanted secure borders. You wanted an end to Obamacare. And you wanted non-crazy people on the Supreme Court of the United States. You didn't get the first two. You're starting to realize you probably never will get them. But the Supreme Court? That ought to be easy. And yet somehow we're all discovering it's not easy. Why is that? Well, there's a really simple reason. Republicans in the Senate don't really care about you. If they did care about you, they would protect you. That's what you do for people you care about. You protect them. If the Republicans cared, they would protect you from the foreign invasion our immigration system has become. They protect your children from the torrent of mandatory propaganda they face in schools that are bankrupting you. They protect your privacy and your freedom of speech, freedom of worship from the tech monopolies that seek to crush all of those things. And they protect Brett Kavanaugh from the obvious smears that are destroying his family and his life. But they won't protect him. And they won't protect him for the same reasons they won't protect you. Because it's hard and embarrassing, or because they just don't feel like it. This could be a socialist country in a few years. It's moving that way. A lot of us would like to be protected from that. Our representatives don't seem to notice. Good luck in November, gentlemen.
Bye, folks. That wasn't Tucker's opinion. That was a shot across the bow. You understand this? You better understand that ship of state right now is teetering. And a lot of these guys are trying to figure out where they are going to end up when this whole thing tilts. That's what's going on. My humble opinion. Jared, we need to go. Let's go to Psalm 2 again. I mean, I hate to keep going back. I hate to keep going back there. And if you're missing it, that it's a spiritual war. Why do the heathen rage? Are the heathen raging, folks? Why do the heathen rage? They're raging. This is spiritual. Every one of us are a spirit. We live in a body. The spiritual world is more real than the flat natural world. In fact, when this whole thing winds down, it's the natural world that's going to disappear, not the spiritual world. The spiritual world is invisible and more real than we understand. and the heathen are raging, and the people are imagining a vain thing. Why? Because the kings of the earth, who would that be? Do you believe the Bible? People said that, well, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, dummy, what does this say? Who are the kings of the earth? Today in the good old U.S. of A., quit thinking about 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years, 5,000 years ago when the Psalms were written. Who today are the kings of the earth? Do you really believe today that the kings of the earth are the elected officials? Do you really believe that? You believe it's the leader of France and the leader of England and the leader of Germany? Do you really believe they're the kings of the earth? Do you really believe that? No. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel. Who are the rulers? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. What is a principality and power? We looked that up the other day. Evil spirits in high places. I'm a spirit. You're a spirit. Wouldn't you like to be a spirit too? We are all spirits. And evil spirits influence the earth. I'm sorry if you think I'm crazy. I'm sorry if you think it's the Doca Dominia. It's right here in the scriptures telling us. Hey, Dale. Look, I know you'll think of it there. And these signs shall follow those who believe in my name.
Mark chapter 16. But coach, on top of that, I mean, it's so obvious. It's like seeing a marionette. We are entertained by the marionette. And we know that there's strings that are there. And the marionette is nothing but the puppet that is controlled by something on high. Devils don't care about R and D whatsoever, brother. There is a spiritual thing that is happening behind the scene.
Amen. But well,
Mark chapter 16 is your answer, though.
Mark chapter 16. There it is. Verse.
Just down 15. About. Yep, 15.
Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he'd risen. Jesus rose from the dead. People saw it and they didn't believe it. Even though he told them he was going to do it. And he said unto them, to the disciples, all these people we just upbraided, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And, by the way, boys, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, look at that. They put that semicolon in there. What if it said, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name? Semicolon. But it doesn't matter. And these signs shall follow them that believe. You want to know if you're a Christian? These signs ought to be following you. According, anybody think I'm making this up? In my name shall they cast out devils. Let that sink in.
Hey, first coach.
Thing he mentioned. Yeah, George.
You know, I've noticed even with family members, people I know pretty well, those that are just listening to even news networks like Fox, and that's all they get their news from, they are mentally gone. You can it's hard to reach them with the truth of what's really going on.
Amen.
Be careful. We need to be careful who and what we listen to and how often.
Amen.
Hey coach, when you look at that verse 15, that the Lord rebuked them for their unbelief, you think about it. Not only is Christ standing there before them, but when you tie that to Matthew chapter 27, verse 52, and the graves opened up, brother, and those that were dead in the grave came out and they were walking through the streets of Jerusalem. And here you've got Jesus's followers and they still didn't leave him. That is a strong delusional spirit. And brother, to think that that thing is not a working, I wouldn't say alive, it's dead, but it's manifesting itself. And we look at the church and go, you can't see, having eyes, you don't see this?
You know, well, I'm going to get into that here in a minute. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I'm thinking of an old computer term. Garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, Jim.
If individuals cast out devils out of individual people, what would a nation look like that's casting out a devil that's a principality in power?
Well, I'm going to get into that here in a second. Because, see, it's a hierarchy, right? So a demon, a simple demon, is nothing more than, dare I say it, Christians. What the Christians are to the gospel. Christians are to the gospel what demons are to the dark side. And so demons invade people. And I was around a bunch of demons at a party the other night. We were both occupying the same space. They were in a person, and the Holy Spirit was in a person, and the two were there, right? So God uses people. He works through people. Stay with me a second. So Jesus said the first thing that you're going to notice about those who believe is in my name, they're going to cast out devils. So help me out here. No devils in the world anymore? They're all gone? Somebody show me where the devils are no longer here. Any place from here on beyond anywhere in the scripture? Can anybody say that they're done? That's it. The devils are not around. The demons are not around anymore. No, don't even try. It's crazy, right? They shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall speak with new tongues. Oh, geez. Oh, woo, don't go there. Don't go there. Two signs. And those who believe in my name, they're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. Said, well, yeah, Coach, that was just in the book of Acts, and then it ceased. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Could it be that none of those things are happening because of, go back up to 15, Jared, their unbelief? Because of their unbelief? Harden their heart, the hardness of heart, because of their unbelief? What's up, Matt?
Hey, Dave, just to comment on what Jared had to say a little bit ago, what happens when you have a bunch of Christians that cast out demons?
Yeah.
It happened in 2016 when Hillary Clinton got cast out. That's what happens. Amen. That's what happens. If we got a bunch of Christians together, we could cast all those Democrats out.
Brother,
talk to you later, Dave.
All right, Matt. Praise the Lord. Okay, so listen, I don't want to get bogged down on this. This is so real.
Before we leave this, let's remember, you go around casting out. If you don't stay on top of the situation, it gets seven times worse. And that's what's happened. There's been instances of small victories on our side, but then we get complacent and things just get seven times worse every time.
Hey, Larry, let me ask you something. Does the average satanic social club that everybody in the queue there, how many of us are in here today? There's 44 of us in here today. Does the average satanic social club talk about this at all? Let me ask that to the crowd here, to the 44 people that are in here. Can somebody tell me when the last time was that you went to church that they spoke specifically about demons and about taking authority and casting them out? I'm curious.
Never.
I did Sunday.
You did
last
Sunday?
Week at my church.
Yeah, but you guys don't count because you're in here and your eyes are open.
Never. Can I talk?
Never, Roger, never?
Never. Never.
Coach, the church is for bake sales, brother.
Never. That means never. Anybody else? Anybody else got a never for me?
Never.
I get emails from people.
Doesn't happen.
They say, Coach, I thought you were crazy. I never heard any of this stuff. Coach, I've been going to church for a while. I've never ever heard any of this stuff. Well, what's Jesus talking about when he says, we shall cast out devils? Was it just then when he was there, just in the first? Do you think multiplication of evil is happening accidentally? And it's because the church has lost all of its. The church doesn't even talk about that. Jared, go back to that again. Go back to that verse again. I want you. Not Dale doesn't count. Kevin Van Story doesn't count. Okay. Come, somebody tell me. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, in your church, when did you go to church and they cast out devils? I'm waiting. Roger said never. Never. Okay. When did you go to your church and they spoke with new tongues? Well, some people say, oh, yeah, I've saw that happen. And yeah, but they tell me that ceased. Okay. Now, I'm not into snake handling. But there's, you said to take up serpents. Now, I don't think it's physical snakes. I think it's dealing with the dark side. Shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. In other words, talking about the hedge of protection that's going to be around the believer. Listen, it ain't about physical death. It ain't always about physical stuff. It's about spiritual, right? It's about your spiritual. That you're going to take up a serpent. You're going to take up a spiritual serpent. You're going to engage the enemy, and it's not going to hurt you. And you're going to drink in lies of the enemy, and it's not going to do it. It's deadly stuff, but it's not going to hurt you. Why? Because you want to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, come on, let's go right down through this. We wonder why there's no power in the church. Okay, somebody again, when did they last cast out devils in your church? Okay, good. Didn't. Okay, when did they speak in new tongues? Oh, they don't do that anymore. That's ceased. When did they take up serpents and they drink any deadly thing? Where does it say they shall get people saved? They shall sing songs and they shall feel the Spirit. Where does it say anything? Doesn't. There's no power in the church. See? Why? Because we poo-pooed this. We don't believe this stuff. Wow. People think I'm crazy. People say they believe the Bible. Those Baptist boys, they believe the Bible, but they don't believe in speaking in tongues. Does Jesus say, listen, in my name shall they count? And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. And they shall speak with new tongues. Except, wait a minute. He should have said, then after the book of Acts, it's going to cease. It's going to cease right there. But these early believers, they're going, we deny the power thereof. Oh, my goodness. That's 2 Timothy. Have form of godliness. But deny the power thereof.
Dave.
Yep. Boy, this is good, man. I don't know about you. I'm feeling better this morning. Go ahead.
Well, let's assume there's debate on the issue of tongues. Let's just assume that. There ain't no debate on the issue of evil throughout the Bible. There is no debate on the evil world's presence. It should be preached, taught, and proclaimed. We're in a battle because evil's on the march. There's no debate in God's word on that one.
No debate. Roger, there's no debate as to whether we should cast out devils. There's no debate. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So if our weapons aren't carnal, but mighty, then that means there is an alternative superior power that's at work. And if we have an alternative superior power that's at work in us, that must be because there's a inferior demonic power at work in others. That's the only way this makes sense. And we deny it. We deny the power thereof. 2 Timothy.
Dave, did you get to watch that video of Mark Taylor that was interviewed by Greg Hunter here this weekend?
Yes, I did.
And what shocked me about that was the fact that 1.6 million pastors across our country signed on to that clergy project right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
1.6 million pastors were going to sell their flocks out to do whatever they needed to do to keep themselves above any fray.
So Pastor Walt Mansfield, if you're listening to this, Pastor Walt tries to listen. He's in Bell Fountain, Ohio. Pastor Walt, if you listen to this show, email me, give me a call. I want to get you on here. Pastor Walt Mansfield was the guy who was became famous as Pastor Revere. Check that out, Jared. Pastor Revere. Just Google that. They called him Pastor Revere because he's the one that exposed the clergy response teams. There, nah, Pastor Revere, not Bevere. I thought something would pop up. Yeah, there you go, Pastor Revere. There it is. 14 urgent openings. No, no. Clergy response team exposed. There it is. Pastor Waldman's. Go back down, Jared. Go back down. Pastor Wald is right over here. Right there. Here's his name. Oh, it's going to be a video of it. The pastor, because he's on talking about. There he is. My buddy, Pastor Walt Mansfield. Pastor Walt, if you're listening, get a hold of me. Why don't you get on and talk about this? Folks, the enemy has infiltrated the church. And the enemy has infiltrated the church, and they has given us religion rather than power. Oh, man. I know you think I'm crazy. I don't care. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Man, 7:40 already? All right. You guys ever hear Derek Prince? I'm not talking about the guy that's a movie star. Derek Prince? Probably haven't. Some of you have, but most of you probably haven't.
Karina and I listened to his videos. He's excellent.
Okay. Well, this is 12 minutes long. I don't think we're going to watch 12 minutes. Derek Prince is dead. But he was one of the church fathers, right? You know, I heard Chuck Baldwin say something the other day that I thought, man, oh man, was that ever bad. Here's what Chuck Baldwin said. He said, I don't listen to anything modern preachers say. Because they're even the big guys, because their theology's been skewed.
Amen.
They're only teaching what they've been taught. He said, if you really want to find out what Christianity is about, you got to go back a ways.
Yep.
You got to go back to 1700 and read what the writers wrote. Go back to the 1600s. Go back into the 1300s and read what the writers wrote about Christianity. And you're going to find out it ain't anything about what we're seeing today. Chuck Baldwin said that. I didn't say that. Maybe you don't care about Chuck Baldwin. So one of these old guys is Derek Prince. Some of you have listened to him. Some of you have. I came across this video. Somebody sent it to me. And I thought, you know, I think I'm going to. Okay. This is Derek Prince talking about demons. Hey, listen. I understand your church doesn't believe in them. I understand. I understand your pastor doesn't believe in it. I understand. Okay, I understand. But for those who are crazy like me, listen to Derek Prince here a bit. It's entitled My Description of Demons. Go ahead, Jared.
My description of demons is persons without bodies. It's very important to realize you're dealing with a person. In the early years of my ministry, I suffered from intense depression that would come over me and rest upon me like a dark cloud and shut me in, keep me from communicating. And I struggled with it. I did everything. I prayed, I fasted, I reckoned myself dead, I knew the scriptures. And the more I prayed and fasted, the worse it got. One day I was reading Isaiah chapter 60, and it said, in place of the spirit of heaviness, the garment of prayer. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, that's your problem, a spirit of heaviness, of depression. And when I knew that I was dealing with a person and not myself, you see, I've been blaming myself for all of this. When I discovered it was another person, I was 80% of the way to victory. And actually, I understood by revelation that it was a familiar spirit. That is, a spirit that follows a family up. And I realized the same spirit had affected my father for many years. So all I needed was one other scripture. Let me share it with you. Joel 2:32. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I called on the name of Jesus and I was delivered. This thing, it was like a heavenly vacuum cleaner came down over my shoulders and just sucked this thing out. And I had struggled with it for years until I recognized it was not myself. It was another person seeking to afflict me. And I want you to understand, when you once realize you're dealing with a person who is not yourself, you're about 80% of the way to deliverance. Three objectives that demons have. Number one, to torment and torture. They are the torturers. Number two, to keep you from knowing Christ as Savior. And number three, if you come to know Christ as Savior, then to keep you from serving Him effectively. Now we have to distinguish between two things, what's called the flesh and demons or evil spirits. The flesh is the old carnal nature that every one of us have inherited from Adam. All of us are descendants from Adam. And Adam did not beget any children until he was a rebel. And every descendant of Adam has the nature of a rebel in him. That's the old man. Now, the other thing that we deal with is evil spirits. And it's important to know what you're dealing with, because the remedies are completely different. See, I was dealing with the spirit of heaviness, and I was trying to deal with it as if it were the flesh. I was trying to crucify it, because that's the remedy for the flesh. But you can't crucify a demon, nor can you cast out the flesh. You have to know what you're dealing with. A man came to me once and he said, "Brother Prince, I want you to cast this demon out of me." I said, "What's your problem?" And he began to tell me his difficulty in relating to his wife. I said, "I don't think I can cast that out. It's not a demon, it's your fleshly nature. You have to crucify it." So we need to know, am I dealing with my flesh or am I dealing with a demon? And I will give you a little list of characteristic activities of demons. Number one, they entice. There's not a single person here above the age of six who has not at some time been enticed to do evil. Very often it comes in words. Well, you see that nice gold pencil there? Pick it up. Nobody will know. If you dropped your pencil, they would do it to you. Anything that comes to you in words comes from a person. So you know that enticement comes from a person, a demon. Number two, they harass. I have this little example in my mind. It's just not directly based on any single experience. There's this businessman. He's had a terrible day in the office. Everything went wrong. The air conditioning failed. His secretary didn't type his letters right. And then he got in the car to go home, and he got in a jam in the motorway, and he spent an hour sitting in his car amongst all the fumes. And finally, when he gets home, his wife hasn't got supper ready, and the children are running around screaming. And at that moment, as they say in America, he blows his stack. He loses control. He begins to shout and scream. And that demon of anger that has been following him around all day slips in. And after that, he's a slightly different person. From after that, at times, something comes over him and he wounds the people he loves most, his wife and children. And his wife looks at him from time to time and sees something in his eyes she never saw before. And then he's repentant and penitent and he says, "I'm sorry, I don't know what made me do it." Well, we do know what made him do it. It was the demon of anger, see? It had harassed him, and in the moment of weakness, slipped in. Then demons torment. They are the tormentors. They torment spiritually with the suggestion, "God doesn't love you, you're not really saved." That's a common form of torment. They torment emotionally with fear. They torment physically with all sorts of horrible things like arthritis and so on. They are the tormentors. And Jesus said, "Listen, if you don't forgive your fellow believer, God will deliver you to the tormentors." Wow. Who are they? The demons. A lot of Christians are in the hands of demons because they refuse to forgive some other person. Then demons compel. They make us do things we don't really want to do. Some of the things they compel you to do are really comical. I had a letter after a deliverance service from a woman aged 25, and she said, "For the first week in my life that I can remember, I haven't been biting my nails." What made her bite her nails? A demon. Can you believe that? I know it's true. And then demons enslave. They make you slaves. You see, people can sin and stop sinning if they decide. For instance, a man may get drunk and then decide he won't get drunk, and he doesn't drink anymore. He's sinned, but he's not enslaved. But an alcoholic is a man who can't stop drinking. He is enslaved. Now, if you put compel and enslave together, you get the word addiction. And in my personal opinion, almost every addiction of any kind is demonic. And there are a lot of respectable addictions, some very unrespectable, some respectable. But if you are addicted, you have a problem. And your problem, I think, in 90% of the cases, is a demon. Demons defile. They make us feel...
Go ahead.
...feel dirty and unclean. They project evil, impure images and thoughts and words into our minds. And I've talked with people at various times who said, just when I'm getting closest to the Lord, when I really want to worship Him, these horrible things come into my mind. And I said, you can be sure it's a demon. Anything that wants to keep you from worshiping God is a demon. Then demons deceive. They are behind all forms of religious deception. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in the last times, some will depart from the faith, that's Christians, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, there are a lot of different deceiving spirits with doctrines that are demonic, and they're very near to all of us. Finally, demons make people weak or sick or tired or kill them. I dealt with a woman once. This is a remarkable situation. 72 different demons came out of her. She was a respectable woman. She was a registered nurse. She was charismatic, Pentecostal, but she had 72 demons. I didn't count them, but there was a woman making a little note of the names. And in the middle of this, it lasted 5 hours. She said, oh, I'm so tired. I can't go on. I can't take any more. And I thought, well, poor woman, she really is tired. And then the Lord showed me, that's not the woman, that's the demon. I said, you spirit of tiredness, come out of this woman. And it said, not the woman, it said, that's right, she's always tired. She's tired when she gets up. She's tired when she's going to bed. She's too tired to read the Bible, too tired to pray. When that spirit of tiredness came out of her, she was no longer tired. We finished the deliverance.
Okay.
Demons make you go to sleep.
Wow, huh? Now, who's crazy? Those of us who believe in the demonic world or those who don't? Somebody come on in here. By the way, we'll put this, Jared will make this available to anybody wants to see it. Derek Prince, he's got a lot of great stuff.
Hey, Coach, evil exists in this world, but people to deny that it exists is insanity.
Well, listen, I can believe the lost world doesn't believe that demons exist. I can believe that. How can a Christian, I know I'm speaking to some of you right now, how could you possibly have gone to church your whole life and never have heard any of this? Somebody help me. How's that even possible?
Because Hello? They're fulfilling prophecy, Coach. They're saying that they believe in Christ, but they're denying the power of. Why do you think so many of our young people are desperate for power and the church won't show it to them, so they go to the dark side like Harry Potter?
Amen, Karen. Like this concert right over here on the other side. People came from ever, 50,000 of them, came to watch the most demonic stuff ever. Why? Because they're looking for, the Bible teaches us that an evil and adulterous generation, that'd be us, seeketh after a sign. They got to see something. There's no power in the church.
Hey, Coach, it's like the churches before, they had to preserve belief through faith. So as the churches have fallen in their walk in faith, it's become difficult for them to prove it. Like you said, you can't prove it. But the only way they could prove it before is faith. So when a church lost faith, it's impossible for them to use that doctrine because no one believes it.
because there's no faith left.
Well, Mark, how would you cast out a devil if you don't believe him? I mean,
well, you couldn't. You couldn't. No, you rely on real Christians.
And
Coach, there's an important reason why Jesus says first you will cast out demons. It's because how are you going to do anything else with an individual, or how's that person going to get any further until you get rid of the demon?
There's demonic influence. Jimmy, that is what a window into the truth. He said first, cast out devils. Why? Because he knew the power of demonic spiritual influence. He knew it. He said you got to get those devils out so that you can get to the real soul of the person. And we live in a culture and a society we don't even believe in. People laugh at me. People laugh. Talk about incubus and succubus. People laugh. I said, well, if incubus and succubus isn't real, then why is all this stuff, why is there all this stuff in the internet talking about it? If it's not real, I didn't want to have made it up. It wasn't my idea. It's like when we went to hear the Watchman conference, L.A. Marzulli was up in front of the crowd and said, listen, how many people here have had a UFO encounter? Now, I believe it to be demonic, okay? I believe that's a demonic encounter. I don't believe it's extraterrestrial. I believe it's interdimensional. That's my belief. How many? Raise your hand. All these people are going to hear the Watchman conferences. You know why they're going to hear the Watchman conferences? Because they've experienced something that their pastor has no answer for. LA said, how many people have experienced it? And 75% of the people raised their hands. That's why they're there. Because the pastor doesn't even want to talk about it. Pastor doesn't even want to believe it. It's scary. Scary to believe in that. Talk about incubus and succubus. That kind of stuff makes you afraid to go to sleep at night if you really believe that stuff was true. But wouldn't it make you also be afraid to go to sleep at night if you realized that the spirit of cigarette smoking and alcoholism and fear and depression, all that stuff is of the enemy? But Jesus said, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and do what? Those who, in my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll see them recover. They'll take up serpents and then drink any deadly thing. It's not going to harm them. How do we just rip that part out of the scriptures? How do you go to a church and it's never mentioned? When Jesus is the last thing he says, Jared, go back to that scripture. Are we about out of time? Dog nabbit! Look at this. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he believeth. Ooh, baptized? He believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming with signs following.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I sit right now. I've had a late start to my day, and I sit right now in a bath because of a demon, or more than one, but I'm crazy.
Hey, David, let me, are you sitting down? That's a joke. Hey, David, you know what somebody said to me the other day?
What?
I stuck up for you, by the way. They said, listen, there wasn't no demon. He just went down there to Kentucky and have himself some butt sex. What did you say to that, David?
That's what somebody asked me, too. Somebody said,
he lived that way for 30 years, and you think he just gave it up? Nah, he snuck down there, have him some butt sex.
Wow. Somebody asked me that, Coach. They said, are you sure you just didn't fall and just go have some sex with somebody, and now you just feel guilty? I said, listen. I said, I wish that I would have just fell, because when I have stumbled, I've been the first to talk about it, the first to admit it, because I know the freedom and the power of transparency. And so I'm the first to talk about it. I said, but I was so afraid to talk about this because I didn't understand it.
In fact, David, you'd never heard of incubus and succubus till I spoke to you about it on that Sunday. Is that right?
Nope. I didn't understand that all that was really real until it happened to me. And I pray that I pray and I hope that it doesn't have to happen to those people who don't believe.
Hey, Jared, real quickly, we're about out of time. Jared, go to Google right now and type in incubus. I want people to see this. Not something I made up, not something David made up, not something Derek Prince made up. Where is it, Jared? I got to get it. We're already on overtime. I got to find it. I moved all that stuff. Let's come back. There it is. Look at this. They're a band, but keep on going down. Oh yeah, they're a band. Hey Jared, go to YouTube real quick. Type in incubus, succubus. Type in both, incubus, succubus. Look at that. It's all video after video after video after video after video of people, incubus, succubus, and their experience. Not making this stuff up! We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling these things down. We're dealing with a lot of people who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And the Bible tells us, stay away from them folk. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.